And this evening, I'd like to just to take a few minutes and to bring a message about the topic of how to be blessed. How to be blessed. You know, the Bible does speak a lot about the word bless or blessed or blessing. And it's used in different ways in the Bible, actually. Sometimes the word blessed in the Bible, it just means to be joyful or happy. For example, blessed are the poor in spirit, those Beatitudes, that uses that word in that way, to be joyful or happy. Other times, the word blessed, it is a synonym. It's a different word in the Greek or the Hebrew. It's a synonym, though, for the idea of to praise the Lord or to worship the Lord. For example, bless the Lord, O my soul. And so that's praise the Lord, O my soul. Other times, and that's what I'd like to focus on this evening, it is used to mean that, to carry the idea of God's benevolence to his creation. In other words, God doing something that is actually beneficial for man or for his creation. And I think that everyone would admit that they would like the blessings of God in their life. Amen. But you know, a smart person would admit that they desperately need the blessings of God every day in their lives. And, you know, to some degree, God blesses all people freely. The Bible tells us he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So all people get to share God's blessings in some way, some of his blessings. But the Bible does teach that God desires to specifically and definitely bless those people who follow him, those who call on the name of the Lord as their Savior. And the idea is that God wants to bless us is actually found in the very name of God. For example, when God describes himself in the Old Testament, some of his names that he uses, Jehovah Jireh, for example, which means what? The Lord who provides. Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals. And in the New Testament, we're told that God is love. And so all of those carry the idea of, in some way, that God shows us that by his very name, he wants to bless us. Aren't you glad the Bible doesn't say God is hate, but it says God is love. And so he wants to bless. It is his nature to bless. That's also seen in the very first chapter of the book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, I should say. In verses 21-22, we see the Lord creating sea creatures and then the birds. And immediately following that, what does he do? He blesses them. The next few verses down, he creates mankind in his own image. And immediately after that, what does God do? He blesses them. In Hebrews 11:6, a very familiar verse, we're told that in order to please God, he demands that we believe that we believe he wants to bless us. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So in order to please God, he demands for us to believe that he wants to bless us. And you know, this is also seen in the very nature of Jesus himself, in that Jesus is God. If it is the nature of God to bless, you would also expect to see in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus, that same idea that he desires to bless. In Acts 3:26, we're told that Jesus was sent by God to be a blessing. In Mark 10:16, Jesus picks up little children in his hands, and what does he do? He blesses them. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the Lord states that part of his mission in coming to the earth was to give life. But not only life, life more abundantly. In other words, that implies some form of blessing. And then finally, in Luke 24, the final act of Jesus before he ascended to the Father, as the multitudes were gathered there, the Bible says he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And then he ascended to the Father. And so it is the nature of God to bless. And you know, it's good for all of us to think correctly about God. God desires to bless his creation and specifically those who believe in him. He desires to bless. And that's good to know because God does not want us to think incorrectly about him. And so this evening, I'd like to just look at a few of the ways the Bible speaks of in black and white. How to be blessed by God. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the time together. May your Spirit open our eyes, and I pray that each one of us would seek the blessings of God that you desire to give. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 2, verse 12, the verse that we read a few minutes ago in the opening, if you caught the last part of that verse, verse number 12, that's the first point. How can you be blessed by God? Well, look at that verse, Psalm 2, verse 12, right at the very end there. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So, number one, how to be blessed by God? To trust in him. To put your trust in him. You know, last year and this year and the year to come, who knows what we're all going to face, what situations we will face. But I promise you, some of the situations we face this year and next year, they will tempt us to not trust in God. They'll tempt us to lean onto our own understanding. They'll tempt us to use our own earthly wisdom and to not trust in God. But the Bible challenges us, no matter what we face, whether it's the hardships of life, sickness in your family or perhaps yourself, financial struggles, political turmoil. Have you ever seen our country in the condition it's in? The lockdowns and the mandates, job loss or the threat of a job loss, no matter what we faced, the Bible encourages us to trust in God. In other words, let that be our default mindset. No matter what we face, default mindset should be to trust in God. And to trust in him means that we remember that he's still on his throne. You know, we use that expression a lot. God is still on his throne. It's a cliche we throw around. But, you know, there really is a lot of good theology in that statement. God is still on a throne. In other words, nothing has ever taken God by surprise. What a blessing to know that nothing that happened last year, you know, God didn't look down and say, wow, I didn't see that coming. Nothing has taken God by surprise, and nothing will take him by surprise. God is on his throne. It means that God's plan for this world is perfectly on schedule. What a comforting thought to know that God does not have a plan B. You know, all he needs is plan A. And his plan for this world, his overall big plan for this world, is perfectly on schedule. Nothing has interrupted his plan. Everything is working out according to his schedule. It also means that he's completely aware of our situation in life. Whatever that means for you, wherever you are in life, your situation, physically, financially, emotionally, God is absolutely aware of your situation. You know, the devil and the world, they want us to think that God doesn't care about us. God doesn't know that much about us, but Jesus, over and over again, made a point of showing us that God does care about us, right? He knows the hairs of our head. He knows when a bird falls to the ground, and he tells us that we are of much more value than many birds. He tells us not to worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. No, God does know our situation, and he's very concerned. He's more concerned about it than you are, to be honest. And so that's what it means. God is on his throne. It also means that his promises are still valid. The promises that were written centuries or millennia ago, they are still valid for you and I today. They have no expiry date. What a blessing to know that the God's word and the promises therein are still for you and I today. You know, if you trust in God, you won't fear. You don't have to fear when problems arise. You may fear when problems arise, but you don't have to fear if you're trusting in God. You won't be stressed out when others around you are. Boy, you think you had it bad. I don't know how bad it was here during the worst part of last year because we were in the Philippines, but I could see things online and people having to wear masks in the Philippines. It wasn't just a mask. When you go into certain places, the downtown areas and the malls, and you had to wear a face shield in front of your face. Talk about stupid looking. A mask and then a face shield in front of your face. And then, of course, everything else that goes along with that. And so, but you know, trusting in God is a thing that will bring, it is a thing that will help us to not be stressed out in life, no matter what we face. You know, some people put their trust in doctors, some people put their trust in medicine, some people put their trust in banks or in gold or silver or maybe Bitcoin or the stock market, or technology, or governments, or politicians. Maybe that's still true. I'm not sure if that's true. People trust politicians today, but maybe that's true. But you know, the Bible tells us some people trust in horses and chariots, but for those of us who know the name of the Lord, we should trust in the Lord. That should be our default mindset all the time. Blessed are those people who trust in the Lord. If you want to be blessed by God, trust in Him no matter what comes. And most of the time, that trusting in God, it means that we have to be obedient to the Bible when it says certain things. Whether or not we understand why we should be obedient, we should be obedient. That is a demonstration of our trust in God. So trust in God. Number two, how can you be blessed by God? Look in 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 5 and 6. And the answer here, how can you be blessed by God? To stay humble before God. To stay humble before God. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humility. You know, humility puts you in a place where God can bless you. Humility puts us in a place where God can bless us. In this verse, we're told that the blessing comes by in the form of God's grace and that he will exalt us, whatever that might mean in your life. A few other references, let me give you what it says about the blessing of God to those who are humble. Psalm 18:27, God will save the humble. Psalm 25:9, God will guide the humble. Proverbs 11:2, wisdom comes to the humble. Proverbs 18:12, honor comes to the humble. And in Isaiah 57, verse 15, I want to read that one because it is such a beautiful passage, but look at it. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So in other words, God dwells in a special way. God dwells within the humble heart. God who is high and lofty. You know, you and I, we are confined to a dimension of time, space, and matter, but God is not confined to that dimension. God inhabits eternity. And the Bible says he's high and lofty, and yet the Bible says he dwells, he chooses to dwell in a special way with those people who keep their heart humble before him. You know, this world and all that's in it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they will try to fill you with pride. Why? Because pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. The devil wants to destroy you, but God desires to bless you. And one of the ways that God promises to bless us is when we keep ourselves humble before him. You know, by the way, one of the best reasons to humble yourself is because that was the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there was anyone who had a right to exalt himself, it was the Lord Jesus. But we're told in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, that he made of himself no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so if for no other reason, that is the example the Lord Jesus set for us, to keep ourselves humble before God. If you want to be blessed by God, humble yourself before him. Number three, how can you be blessed by God? Look in Proverbs 22 and verse number 9. Proverbs 22 and verse number 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Number three, to be generous to others. If you want to be blessed by God, be generous to others. Just a few verses here again. Let me just give you a list of a few verses that talk about the way God blesses those people who are generous. Psalm 41, verses 1 and 2. When you are generous to the poor, God promises to deliver you from trouble, to preserve you, and to keep you alive. Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Bible says there. Proverbs 11:25. Here's a good one. God promises that the generous will be made fat. Amen. How many of you want to be fat? Of course, the word fat there, it means to be enriched. It means it carries the idea of being blessed. God promises that generous people will be blessed. They will be made fat. So let's all strive to be fat Christians. Amen. Proverbs 28:27. When you are generous to the poor, you will not lack for yourself. Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 through 10. And again, I want to read this one because it's one of my favorite passages along the lines of this topic. I've read this dozens of times in our church in the Philippines. But look at verses 7 through 11, actually. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates, In thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need and that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught. And he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. In that passage, the Lord is, Moses, of course, he's instructing the children of Israel before they enter the promised land. They're on the plains of Moab. He's instructing them how to carry out the law when they enter the land. And one thing he reminds them is when you get to the promised land, there's always going to be poor people in your presence. And make sure to those people you are generous. And he says two things about being generous. He says, number one, when you give to them, open your hand wide. In other words, let the money fall out. Don't hold it so tight that, you know, Washington cries when you're trying to let go. Open your hand wide. And he said also, when you give, don't be grieved in your heart. Don't cry that you have to do it. Be glad that you can do it. One of the blessings of living in the Philippines is that there are always poor people around, which means there's always an opportunity to do something to help the poor and the needy. When we first started our church, we made that a part of our permanent budget. Every month, we have people on our staff who, that's their job. They look, part of their job, they look every month for people who are needy. And so part of our budget, we buy food, a food basket every month to give to somebody who's needy. Usually it's a person who has a lot of children and so forth, but needy people, and they're everywhere. And you know, the Lord tells us these people will always be around. No social program will ever eradicate poverty. And you know, I think the Lord does that as a test for Christians. The way we treat people who are poor and needy is a test. It might indicate how the Lord is going to treat us, the way we treat the poor. You have to use wisdom when you help the poor. Whenever we come back on furlough, I always find it interesting, the people who stand on the street corners, there in Tallahassee, where we are at least, holding their signs and all the new cliches they use on their signs to catch your attention. And you have to use wisdom when you're giving to somebody. You don't want to just throw your money away without, wisdom. But if a person can stand all day in the Florida sun, he can probably get a job and work. But you know what? If you don't know where the poor people are, if you say, well, I don't know any poor, then find them, because there are poor people. There are needy people. And it's our job to provide for those people. It's our job to help them in whatever way we can. And so the Bible promises that God will bless when we are generous to others. 2 Corinthians 9:6, God will be generous to those who are generous. Right? If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. So God is generous to those who are generous. The devil wants you to be stingy and a tightwad so that you'll be miserable and greedy, but God wants to bless you. And he promises to do that if you are just generous to other people. And so let me challenge you this evening. If you want to be blessed by God, be generous. Find the poor and the needy in your area. You can also do it through your church. I'm sure your church reaches out to the needy, but find the needy and help them and see if God does not honor his word. Number four, how can you be a blessing? How can you be blessed by God? Number four, Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 3. And you may already know that verse. It's the last verse of the Abrahamic covenant. The last verse says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So how can you be blessed by God? Number four, by being a blessing to the Jewish people. By being a blessing to the Jewish people. And I know your church supports organizations that reach out to the Jewish people. Our church, a few years ago, we had always supported missions, but a few years ago, the Lord laid it on our heart to start supporting Jewish or people who are evangelizing Jewish people, organizations that were doing that. And we had purchased our property, and we were meeting in the small, ugly building that came with that property. The Lord had allowed us to purchase the property debt-free, and then we had a balance of zero in our fund. And we met there for about 10 months in a house that was renovated somewhat, smaller than the platform I'm on up here. And we met there for 10 months with about 60, 70 people. And one series I was doing in our church on God's big plan for the world included the idea of, or involved the idea of God's chosen people, the Jewish people. And I spent a week explaining that to our church family. And the Lord put it on our heart that we in the Philippines, even though we're way over there, there are no Jewish people in the Philippines, but to put it on our heart that we should reach out to evangelize, to support those who evangelize Jewish people. So I brought that up before our church, and they all at once, unanimously, they all said, yes, we need to do that. The Lord had put it on their heart, and we started doing that. And it wasn't just 2 or 3 months later that I got the email from a couple in California who we didn't even know. And we had already had our thing drawn up, how much money we needed for our church building. And lo and behold, this couple, eventually, they gave the entire amount, more than enough for the entire building to be put up. And I don't think it was a coincidence in our particular case that we had just started supporting an outreach to help evangelize Jewish people. We got the money, and in 10 weeks, our building was up. Praise the Lord. You don't have to worry about permits in the Philippines very much. Over here, you can't do anything without a permit. But over there, we still don't have a permit for our church building. We've been meeting there for 4 years, 5 years already. But nonetheless, be a blessing to the Jewish people. You know, there are some organizations that they actually go to Israel twice a year to... they have contracts with farmers in Israel. And what they do is they gather volunteers in the U.S., at their own expense, to go over there, and they harvest the crops for Jewish farmers, free of charge to the farmer, so he doesn't have to pay for his crops to be harvested. And so they feel in that way they're being a blessing to the Jewish people. And that's a good outreach, nothing wrong with that, but you know the greatest way you can be a blessing to them is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. That's the greatest blessing of all. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he spoke about that future day of judgment, referring to his fellow Jewish people. He said, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." So the Lord will bless those who bless the Jewish people. You know, that's just part of the Lord's program. You know, a good way to be blessed by God is to find out what God is doing and to get in on that. In other words, to be a part of that. And let me tell you that God is very serious about the Jewish people, his chosen people. Now, the Abrahamic covenant, that's an old covenant, but it is an everlasting covenant. It's an unconditional covenant. It's before the law of Moses, and it survives after the law of Moses. It's still in effect today. You know, to support or to be a blessing to the Jewish people, it doesn't mean that you have to agree with all the politics of Israel. I certainly don't agree with all their politics, but nonetheless, you can still be a blessing to the Jewish people. And to share the gospel with them is the greatest way. The reason that we have evangelism in our church is because I know that's what God's plan is for this age, is to evangelize, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if you're part of that, you can expect God to be a blessing to you when you are on his program, you're following his program. The reason we have an orphanage in the Philippines is because I know the Bible says in several places that God cares for the orphan. He cares for the abandoned. And I want to get in on what God's program is so that God can be a blessing to me as well. And so to support the Jewish people, you can be blessed by God. Number five, and last, how can you be blessed by God? Look in John chapter 20 and verse 29. John 20 and verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, now this is to Thomas, the second appearance of Jesus after his resurrection, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know, you and I, we fit into that category. We've never seen him, but we do believe in him. And so in a special way, we are blessed because of that very fact. And although this is the last point of the message, it's definitely the most important point because this is really where all true blessing starts, right? When you are in Jesus Christ, Paul tells us in Ephesians, you have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places at your disposal in Jesus Christ. All true blessing begins in him. So what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Just three simple points. Number one, God wants all people to know they are sinners. You know the verse, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, we're all guilty of breaking his laws. God doesn't want anyone to live through this life without knowing that they are a sinner. Now, that's an interesting fact. Think about it for a minute. When the first man and woman sinned in the Garden of Eden, God quickly comes to them and confronts them about their sin. Now remember, Adam and Eve at the time, they represented all of humanity. They were the world population at the time. And God went to the world population and confronted them about their sin. You know, God doesn't want anybody to be born in this world to live and to die without knowing that they are a sinner, that they violated the laws of God. And you know, that's our job as believers to share those truths of sin, righteousness, and judgment, to show people the Word of God, not to condemn people, but to reveal to them that they are already condemned by the Word of God because they are sinners. God doesn't want anyone to live this life and to die without the knowledge that they are sinful. They're spiritually separated from him. They deserve his judgment. They're guilty of breaking his laws. As a matter of fact, the very definition of the word sin. Sin is the what? The transgression of the law. That you can't define sin apart from the law of God. This sin has no definition outside of God's moral law. It's not just an offense to your neighbor. It's not just a crime against society. It is a sin against a holy God. And so God wants everybody to know that they're sinners. Number two, and by the way, we live in a day where there are movements who make an effort to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that it's not offensive. They take away words that talk about sin or righteousness or judgment so that it is palatable to the unconverted ear. Listen, the gospel, by its very nature, the cross is offensive to those people who are unrepentant. It is an offensive message, and we shouldn't try to water it down. It's good for a person to learn their true condition before God. Nothing else matters if they don't recognize their true condition before God. God wants all people to know they're sinners. Number two, God wants all people to repent. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. In Luke 24, the Lord Jesus himself said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached beginning in Jerusalem and to all nations. In other words, God wants everybody to know they're a sinner, and he wants every one of those people to repent. The Bible tells us God has no pleasure in the death of a wicked person. It doesn't please God when a wicked person dies unrepentant. God has no pleasure in that. What a blessing to know that he wants us to know our true condition, and he wants us to repent, to turn from that condition, to turn to him, to acknowledge our sinfulness, to be willing to turn in our hearts and minds from our sin, to humble ourselves before a holy God. God wants all people to repent. And then number three, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, God wants all people to be saved. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. What a blessing to know that God wants every one of those people who recognize themselves to be a sinner. He wants all of those people to repent. He wants all of them to be saved. I'm so glad that I can go to the Philippines and talk to any person there and know that God wants that person to repent and to be saved. I'm glad I don't have a theology that excludes certain people from the fact that they can be saved. I'm glad that my theology is not limited by color of skin or nationality, social status, but it's a gospel that is for all people. What a blessing. God wants all people to know they're sinners. He wants all of them to repent, and He wants all of them to be saved. If a person dies without Jesus Christ, what a sad thing. Our job is to spread the gospel, to share the word of God to as many people as we can, because God wants all of them to be saved. You know, when you know Jesus Christ, you are blessed beyond measure with all spiritual blessings such as forgiveness of sins, peace with God, a home in heaven, hope for the future. All blessings begin in Jesus Christ. Well, I would assume most everybody, if not everyone here tonight, is a believer. But if there's someone here tonight you're not a believer, you're not saved, what a great time for you to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He wants you to be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you that you have made provision for any and all who come to you. And we ask your blessings on this time, that you would speak to our hearts and challenge us, Lord, to seek the blessings of God in our lives. May we do those things that you have laid out in black and white that would put us in a place where you can truly bless us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.